tonight in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22, and chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, God's judgment for the trust male leaders put in themselves versus the Lord. When God's prophet Isaiah called the nation to stop trusting in men in Isaiah 2:22, one of the great vices that had led to this call was the failure of Judah's leaders to trust in God versus trusting in themselves. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 clarifies this error, providing invaluable insight and an application for us today. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. The theme verse in this entire section is verse 22 of chapter 2. Cease ye from men, or cease trusting in men, and whose breath is but in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? And then we'll skip down to chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to the plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. For you have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces, or grind my people, and grind their faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? Okay. The Isaiah 2:22 admonition to stop trusting in man that summarizes the Isaiah 2:6-21 general exposure of Judah's sins also acts to introduce Isaiah 3:1-4:1, where God focuses on specific sins caused by this errant trust in man versus the correct trust in the Lord. Well, one part of society, its male leaders, had failed Judah, and Isaiah exposed and condemned it in Isaiah 3:12-15. Isaiah claimed that those who acted as irresponsible children were oppressing God's people. He was referring in the context to Judah's male leaders, indicating the men who led no longer revered the Lord so as to function in responsible oversight of the people, but to do the opposite, to function selfishly in using their powers for their own gratification as would an immature child. I'll never forget many years ago, I was in a church. This is before I was a pastor, just in a church. And they'd built this new church and everything, and people could not agree on what color to paint the ceiling, for goodness sakes. So they finally voted on a color that no one liked, and that's what they went with, because that way they could agree. They agreed that no one liked it, and it was light tan. And I remember, as a teenager at the time, I couldn't understand this. I mean, these were grown-ups, and I was supposed to be looking up to these people as my examples, and I couldn't figure it out. They were worse than two-year-olds. I mean, it was incredible. They were just fighting back and forth, and they ended up choosing a color that no one liked, and therefore they were happy with it. That didn't make sense to me. But anyway, that happens. And tragically, that happens in lots of churches, that kind of a thing. It's immaturity. Immaturity, especially in men who are supposed to be responsible. Isaiah 3:12b claimed that women rule over them. It does not describe the actual situation, for this was a patristic culture where men had the lead, but it recalls the old Arabian proverb that means, I fled to God from the rule of boys and the reign of women, meaning the men had become so weak in character that they had no more authority before others than did a child, actually producing a dangerous situation in Judah. This is something that pops up. If a man is not responsible, if he doesn't show himself mature, people won't follow him because they don't respect him. And if they don't respect him, and that happens through all the men in the church, then the church has real problems because people don't respect that. So it's absolutely essential for men in particular to show themselves as being responsible. And if they're responsible, then they'll be respected and then they can lead. It's very, very important. This all starts with the men. Isaiah then plainly stated in Isaiah 3:12c that Judah's leaders had caused her as a nation to go astray to where it was not aware where it was heading. Sounds like her nation. The Hebrew participial form is used for going astray to indicate that the leaders were at that very moment leading the nation astray and not in the right direction. In other words, they are leading them astray. Well, in contrast to the current misguidance by Judah's leaders, Isaiah 3:13 uses several participles to show the Lord's welcome ongoing reactions of taking his stand to plead is the Lord and standing is he to judge the peoples. This appreciated relief to the ongoing misguidance of Judah's leaders reveals that the Lord himself was even then in control of the desperate situation, that he stood ready to plead and to prosecute as well as to accuse the guilty in correcting the whole situation. You know, we can stop. I've heard lots of Christians exercise concern about the leadership in our state, the leadership in our nation, and so forth. The wonderful thing to know is that God is already active, and he's at work controlling the events because his agenda is going to get done in our country and in our state. And no matter who's in power or not in power. And so this is a welcome relief. The Lord is taking his stand. In Isaiah's day, he was doing that, and he's doing it right now. He's very much in control. Well, God is presented as standing to judge in verse 13. And Isaiah 3:14a reveals how the Lord will enter into litigation with the elders of his people, the men responsible for the nation's welfare, as well as the officials or the princes of the government, those responsible for the administration of the government. A sample of the sins the elders and the officials had irresponsibly committed is given in verses 14b to 15. The expression in 14b, where it says eaten up, is better translated depastured, where the men of Judah are seen as keepers of a vineyard who had spoiled and not protected God's vineyard of Judah. Vineyards, incidentally, were pretty delicate things. If you go up the hill here on towards Torrington, you'll see there's a guy that has a vineyard there. And they have to take a lot of care. You'll notice it's on a hill. Most vineyards are that way because they don't want to be sitting in a valley when a frost comes that can kill the plants. So that it's on a hill, and that way the frost will move past them. And the soil is particular. They have to prune them exactly. But vineyards in the ancient Near East, you had to have a wall that was around to protect them. Otherwise, foxes and other animals would get in and eat the grapes. So they had to have towers to keep thieves from stealing the grapes and also animals from attacking. So they would build towers, watchtowers in these vineyards. It took a lot of work. And leaders are people who are seen as caretakers of a vineyard. The people of Judah were sensitive. They were vulnerable to a lot of harm, just like a vineyard is. And yet the people are valuable in the eyes of God. So the leaders were put in assignment and responsibility to care for the vineyard, to care for the people, to watch out for them, to protect them, to guard them, to see that there was justice going on. Well, these men had depastured it. They had essentially ruined the vineyard. Not only allowed the animals to come in and so forth, but actually destroyed them. They themselves had destroyed the plants. To explain this figure, Isaiah focused on one particular sin, the mistreatment of vulnerable people. Judah's leaders had abusively used their powers to take from the poor, so that what the poor once owned was now in their own homes versus their overseeing the poor to be sure that their needs were met. So instead of trusting the Lord for material blessing, the men had shifted to trust in themselves, not sensing their accountability to the Lord, but they instead had taken advantage of the vulnerable that was around them. This is a sad situation. Men are the ones who are the strong in society. They're the ones who are supposed to be mature and so forth. So they're the ones, ideally, who need to protect, who need to guard, who need to administer justice. But when they start turning selfish, all they do is destroy society because they take advantage of the poor and ruin them. And the entire social structure will come unraveled because the men have come unraveled. And so the Lord rightly goes after the men here in this situation. So outraged, Isaiah addressed these leaders, asking what they meant by crushing God's people and figuratively grinding the faces of the poor as if grinding grain between two heavy millstones. We've sometimes have visited Sturbridge Village, and they have a mill up there where they grind grain, and there's a waterfall that comes underneath the mill, and there's huge millstones. Good grief, they've got to be about 5 or 6 feet in diameter. You've probably seen them, you've been up there. And they pour grain down in the center, and the millstones go around. They're being driven by the waterfall and so forth. There's a rotary wheel. And the grain comes out, and it's ground to thin powder. These stones are huge, and they're heavy, very heavy. So the picture here is these leaders are grinding the poor who are helpless, and they're grinding them down to powder so that they have nothing. They don't have hardly the shirt on their backs. And they're doing this just because they're greedy, and they've got the power, and they can do it. Well, what's interesting is Isaiah 3:15 presents God as the Lord of hosts. That stresses his sovereignty. And it's a sovereignty that the leaders had failed to consider, leading them to lose their sense of accountability to him to aid and not to abuse the weak. So for failing to sense their accountability to the Lord, Judah's male leaders had ceased functioning responsibly as men who trust in God and help, not harm, vulnerable subjects. This failure hurt the entire nation. So may we who lead realize our purpose before God is to revere and to trust in him, so as to help the vulnerable in accountability to the Lord. Now, if we are exposed to irresponsible men over us in some institution, could be a situation in a church, could be something in a business, could be, many times it's often in government. We need to realize that we do have a sovereign Lord who will aid us and deal out justice for us in his own way and in his own time. Elements of this lesson we've covered before already in our study of Isaiah, but as I was preparing this and then thinking about it, I stopped. I've been pastoring now for about, good grief, it's 38 years after having graduated from seminary in 1976. 38 years. And I've known of a lot of church situations and crises and problems, many of them in churches that were around me, sometimes challenges that we've had within. You would be amazed at the percentage, and I would say the vast majority of problems are on this very issue alone, where the men in the church failed to trust the Lord and started to take things into their own hands and tried to manipulate and so forth, and it made matters a whole lot worse. If the men in that particular situation had really looked at the Lord, I'm talking about pastors, yes, I'm talking about board members, yes, just the men in the church in general, if they had really trusted the Lord and gotten together and really prayed over the problems that they had and then sought to take responsible, selfless action, it would have solved the problems. But as it was, churches have split needlessly. And lots of people have been hurt. Sometimes even marriages have been broken up over things like this. It's incredibly tragic. But it's very, very important. This affects society, but it affects any institution. It affects the church, it'll affect the government, it'll affect families and so forth. It's extremely important that men revere the Lord. We've worked and have been working hard at this as a body for a number of years, and I'm glad to say that there's real progress that's being made in this area. But we have an account. We're going to have a board meeting later tonight. I don't know the subjects that we're going to be covering. I know only one that I'm going to bring it up. We're thinking about getting some flowers for the, you know, Billy Brewster, since his mother's passed away. I thought I'd bring that up, and I think I'll get a board approval on that. But I don't know of the other things. But it's very important, and I'm glad that we have a board that is this way at this time, that when it gets together, it prays that we would understand God's agenda, that we would yield to the Lord's agenda. What do you, Lord, want us to do? I love to hear that, because that's exactly what our job is. We're not there to do what we want. We're there to do what God wants and to help people and to evaluate what can we do to be helpful and protective. So it's interesting. The next lesson is God's judgment on women. And I thought that was interesting. We'll do that next time. that's particular. But I thought, well, we're going to split it up in two lessons. We'll deal with the men tonight. But the Lord deals with everybody equally, you know. What goes around comes around. Yeah. But this is very important that we men make sure that we are following the Lord. And I apply this in my own life personally, myself. I stop and I ask myself, am I responsible? Or am I becoming self-centered in any way? It's very important that I put the needs of this body ahead and seek to do what my job is for the welfare of this body. God help us all as leaders to be this way.